Welcome to WP Coffee Talk. Thank you to our sponsor, Helix Managed WordPress Hosting, for both their sponsorship and hosting our site, WPCoffeeTalk.com. Now on to our episode. Welcome to the next edition of WP Coffee Talk. I am here, we're bi-coastal this evening, so I am here in Rochester, New York, and I'm talking to my friend Cami Chaos all the way over in Oregon. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Michelle?
I'm good, thanks. And we had the pleasure of just seeing each other just a couple weeks ago in Canada.
Up in Ottawa.
In Ottawa. I love Ottawa. That's a fun camp every year.
It's the first time I'd been to Ottawa or to WordCamp Ottawa, and it was delightful.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It does get a little chaotic when every WordCamp does. I think there comes a point in every day where you're just like, I just want silence.
Yes.
Can I go back to my hotel room and just be quiet for a little while?
Yeah.
But we're going to talk about our Uber ride too, because our Uber ride was a lot of fun. Or Lyft, whatever it was.
I challenged you.
And I failed. I failed the challenge. Utterly.
I don't know if I'm excited and joyous that you did, because I feel like I provided a mighty challenge, or if I'm sad, because... But we'll get to that later.
It's the luck of the draw. That's what it was that time. My charms failed, but we'll talk about that later. So tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
I'm Cami Chaos. As Michelle said, I'm in Portland, Oregon. I'm the community manager for the WordPress open source project sponsored by Automattic, which means my day-to-day life is talking to amazing WordCamp organizers, talking to meetup organizers who are also amazing, helping people find their path in the WordPress event community, and then a bunch of other miscellaneous things that just have found their way to my plate.
Yeah, so kind of a Jill of all trades in some respects, but with a definite territory, so to speak.
Yes, absolutely.
Awesome. And I was telling you when I was asking you to be on the podcast to have a mug, and you said, I have several, and you said you narrowed it down. So show me your mugs. I want
to
see what you
got. I narrowed it down to two mugs. Okay. Neither of which have I very, very specially decided not to choose anything from within the WordPress world. So these are my mugs.
Pie.
I'd like to discuss first.
Oh, tell me about Pie first, because Filled with Rage, I think, is going to be a lot more fun, but I could be wrong.
So Pie, aside from being a delicious treat, this is also my partner's accelerator. He has a Portland incubator experiment. It accelerates early stage startups. And I've been watching him go with that for 10 years. And I've been a mentor for some of the Pi companies for a couple of years. And it's just really near and dear to my heart. But it's also Pi. So this is my iced tea mug.
I like it. And everybody can get their piece of the pie then, right? Is that?
Absolutely.
I love it. And the Filled with Rage, what is the story with this one?
Filled with Rage. This is my club soda mug. And this is from joining Bitch Media, which is are you familiar with Bitch Media?
No, but I love the name. All of a sudden, I'm just laughing.
Bitchmedia.com. It's an amazing, amazing, I call it a magazine because they have one, but it's not a magazine. It is feminist journalism. They bring everything to light. They like to smash the patriarchy. If you join the Rage, that's your membership to the program, and you also have access to the online magazine and to the paper magazine. And I have this delightful mug, and it was a Christmas gift. My subscription and my membership to the Rage was a Christmas gift from one of my friends.
That is awesome, and I love it, and I love the color and everything that goes with it.
It's my favorite mug to drink out of. Sorry, all of the other mugs on the planet.
Mugs don't have feelings. It's okay. You can have a favorite.
Okay. Well, that's my favorite mug.
I'm drinking out of a glass. I have water in a glass, and I'm having water out of my 2016 WordCamp Pittsburgh pint glass. So that's what I have this evening. And it was seltzer water. It's lost its fizz through the afternoon, so now it's just water.
Yeah.
And I'm trying not to be disappointed when I sip it that it isn't effervescent anymore. But you have enough personality to bring the effervescence to the, see how I did that? To the conversation?
I like that. That was a great link. Yeah.
You like that? Okay, good.
Brought that right back around.
Sorry, Pig Red. So you and I had talked, and I know some of the answers to this question or some of your journey, but tell us in general, how did you get started with WordPress?
I was a blogger. I was a mommy blogger. I had a blog called Momified Me, which was the story of what happens when you took Cammie and momified her. And so it was kind of my internal rebellion against all the things that I felt like society expected of me as a mother. And it was on Blogger. And I wasn't happy with it, but I was also lazy. But one of my friends was organizing an event called a WordCamp, and he asked me to help organize and do some volunteer stuff. And another friend of mine was volunteering as well. And I was like, okay, fine, what do I need to do? And they were like, you need to, you know, move your blog over to WordPress and then come help hand out t-shirts. And so I did. And I did hand out t-shirts, but I also spent the rest of the day helping people who couldn't quite figure out how to port their sites over, set up their own WordPress installations and move their blogs over to WordPress.
That's very cool. So how did you go from volunteering at your first WordCamp to actually working at working for the open source project sponsored by Automattic? Is that how, did I say it right? Okay.
Yes. I work. Yeah, that's it. This is a complicated sentence. I am sponsored by Automattic to work on the open source project.
Gotcha.
Lucky happenstance. That was the first WordCamp Portland, the one that I volunteered at. And I was involved in some capacity with every WordCamp Portland after that until this last one, either as a volunteer or as an organizer or as a speaker. And I just got to know a lot of the people within the local WordPress community, but I didn't really understand for a while that there was this great, big, huge global WordPress community. Mm-hmm. I started to get to know other WordPress organizers who'd come up to Portland and made friends with folks from other WordPress communities. And I was like, oh, they have a community there. They have a community there. And then it was a matter of time before I realized, oh, this is all like, oh my gosh, we have the internet. It's all linked. Ah, it's like theory of WordPress. And I met Andrea Middleton, who was working for Automattic, sponsored to work on the open source project. And she mm-hmm. emailed me one day and let me know that there was a job open and asked if I knew anyone who would kick ass at it. And then I grappled for an extended period of time with guilt over leaving my employer, who I really love, and just numbing, painful imposter syndrome. But I figured the worst that could happen is that they could offer me a job and then I'd have to go from there. So I applied and they in fact did offer me a job.
And the rest is history. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, the rest is more than 6 years ago. So
that's phenomenal. Now I know that you have been involved with a lot of WordCamp planning and a lot of WordCamps, and we're going to talk about WordCamp US in a little bit too. So yay. There's a lot of things we're going to come back to the Lyft drive. We're going to come back to WordCamp US. So don't let me forget. Those are the things we're going to talk about.
But before then, I'd have to be a two-part podcast. We have a lot to talk about.
We may have to do that. We'll see what we can get through today. How's that sound? What's something that you think that people skip over or don't focus enough attention on their websites that would make them stronger, better websites?
Context. I think a lot of times people launch right into what they're doing. And they don't give you a real sense of why. They don't give you this story of who they are and why it is they're doing what they're doing. And it might just be that I crave that kind of connection with people. I want to understand why people are doing it so I don't have to make my own assumptions. Mm-hmm. And I think that telling that story about why you have this site, even if it's, you know, funny Twitter fails, why are you so interested in funny Twitter fails? Why do you have an entire blog about plants? Tell me why. And I think that it's going to drive more people to interact with you.
I think that's pretty cool. The only time that's really annoying is on recipes. Have you ever noticed that? Like if you look up a recipe online, you have to scroll for like 5 minutes past their grandmother's story and everything
else. Put the recipe on top, grandma's story down below.
Yes, exactly.
I want grandma's story, but first I need to know what I need to get from the store.
Exactly. It's all good. Just organize it a little bit better. Absolutely. No, I agree with you. Context is really important. And that's why I tell everybody, you have to have an About Us page. And they won't, well, but nobody cares about me. No, but they do. Maybe not everybody's going to read it, but the information is good information to see and let people know that they can trust whoever it is and whatever you're doing. So for sure. What's something that you wish you had known when you started with WordPress that you've learned since?
This is when I should have thought the questions through more. Something I wish that I had known about WordPress when I started.
I'll tell you mine. I can tell you mine if that would help.
It's like, okay. I'm going to talk slowly. Go ahead.
Mine is that I didn't understand the value of my work, and therefore I did not price my work accordingly. So when I first started, and we're talking like 7 years ago, it wasn't that long ago, I was selling websites for $300 to $500, which was, I mean, those were e-commerce sites. I was clearly had no clue what I was doing. So that's like, that's a big blunder to start off with. So that's mine. Like, what? Oh gosh, I wish I'd known when I first started.
You know, mine's not dissimilar, because when I stumbled into doing WordPress for work, I absolutely had no idea. I was hired to do customer service, customer outreach, back-end work for a local startup that did paleo meal planning services. And we never discussed that it was on WordPress, and I started using it, and suddenly, and like, I was just doing all these other things too while I was in there. And so it's similar. I didn't realize how beneficial it was to me, because at the time I was a newly single mother, and I had no idea what I was going to do for work. I had been a stay-at-home parent for years, and I was like, I have to go back and do work things now. And I really had no idea what I was going to do for a while. And when I fell into doing this, it took me until I got hired by Automattic to realize that my WordPress skills were actually one of my most valuable assets.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. I wouldn't have known it if it worked for you. I never would have even thought about that.
Yeah. Well, then I'm glad I could be part of that. When you think back over all of the different meetups and all of the different WordCamps that you've been involved with and attended, and the talks you've heard and the talks you've given, et cetera, what are one or two, like, mountaintop moments or inspirational moments or, you know, aha type moments that you can think of that really made a difference to you in your journey?
I have three. One of them is just general for every time this happens. But the first time I was ever at a contributor day, it was for WordCamp San Francisco. And I walked in contributor day, and I was there for 5 minutes, and I started crying. Because it was, I'm sad. It was just so beautiful. To be part of something that so many people were so passionate about and so many people were contributing back to. And to like see people that I know have personality conflicts sitting in that room working on projects together and really being there for the best and like for the internet as a whole. Like, I mean, they're really trying to make the internet a better place.
Yeah.
Democratize publishing. Go WordPress. So that's one. Just anytime I go to a contributor day, I have that same reaction. I have stopped full-on crying, but I tear up every time.
Yeah. I can see why. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I have four.
Okay.
My second one would be the first time I ever went to a WordCamp by myself as an employee of Automattic. I had understood already how welcoming and warm and inclusive our community is. But for some reason, I mean, it's that whole, like, there's an entire change that's happened. I'm no longer just Cammy. I'm Cammy. And I was like, I'm going to show up. I'm going to try to talk to somebody. No one's going to like me. They're going to be like, what are you doing here? Why do you need to know that? That never happened. It was WordCamp Seattle. It was a really wonderful experience. Everyone was fantastic. And that was really great. And then number three, the day after WordCamp US, the first year in Philadelphia. WordCamp US, for those of you who might not know, is the extension of WordCamp San Francisco. WordCamp San Francisco happened in San Francisco for a very, very long time, and it was kind of the big flagship WordCamp for many years. But we kind of outgrew San Francisco. Not that we couldn't have gone somewhere and had like a very large event at another place, but for the size that we were looking for, it was really hard to get something that was going to work for our needs. It was difficult to keep asking people to fly into San Francisco every year. it made more sense to share the love. And so after a lot of thought and effort and energy, Philadelphia was selected. And I was lucky enough to be one of the lead organizers for that first WordCamp US. And I got to know that team in Philadelphia. I am lifelong friends with some of those folks. I have a phone call after you and I talk with one of my friends from Philly. We try to have a happy hour whenever we can over our computers just so that we can still like be together. And just the day, not even the day after, the evening after it was over and we walked out of the event and nothing had gone terribly awry. And I realized that we'd pulled it off. That was incredibly touching and triumphant and also exhausting for me.
For sure.
So, and then number four, some answers, some questions I'll have no answers to, others it'll be like the coffee mug situation.
That's okay.
In Ottawa, I gave a talk called There's a Person at the End of This Project, and it could use some refining on the rough edges, but I was really proud of it, and I was really proud to share my reasoning that we just need to remember, like Grover, the furry, lovable Grover from Sesame Street, who goes through his book, Monster at the End of This Book, in complete angst and anxiety, freaking out, not wanting to turn the pages because he knows there's a monster at the end of the book, only to find out that he's the monster. I think that there's a certain level of a lack of acknowledgement that there's humanity on the other side of this project, on the other side of this computer, and that we have all those feelings and they're valid, but we need to find a way to make them constructive. So those are my current top four.
I love it. What you don't know is that WordCamp US, the first one, was one of the first, was I think my maybe fourth WordCamp I'd ever been to. And I went by myself. I drove from Rochester to Philadelphia and I walked to the venue every day and I was literally there by myself. I didn't know anybody else. I was just kind of like, I eventually started to find people that I knew through social media and things like that. But it was, for me, it was the event that cemented that I was where I belonged in the WordPress community because, yeah, right? Because I got there knowing nobody and feeling like I'm just going to sit in the back and nobody knows me, to the point where I was walking up to people and talking to them and feeling like people are accepting me and I kind of belong here. And it was, yeah, so for me, that's what WordCamp US is. It's just the opportunity really to see so many people and be involved in such something so big. So that's pretty cool. Yeah, so that's my WordCamp US story that I wanted to tell you about. But the thing I wanted to ask you about WordCamp US, am I making you cry?
No.
I'm not crying, you're crying. I know, you always make me tear up anyway because you're just such, I don't know, we just connect well, I think. We connect well.
We do.
But you were telling me, so I am actually on the organizing team for WordCamp US this year.
Yes, you are.
And you are not for the first time.
I'm not, no.
And you get to just be an attendee.
I am very excited. So I should say, first of all, that being an organizer is a wonderful experience, but I feel like people really need to know their limits and to advocate for themselves first and what they need. I was on the organizing team for 4 years, and that was a lot of work. And I was super happy to be able to hand that off to a bunch of other folks who, I mean, I know it's in really good hands, but I'm super excited that I'm not organizing this year. My daughter is super excited because it means I'm slightly less harried towards the end of the year. And while I will be at WordCamp US and I am volunteering, I'm volunteering for setup and I'm volunteering for Contributor Day. I am not volunteering during the event itself so that I can attend a WordCamp US. Because I think I said this to you in Ottawa, I've never attended a WordCamp US. I've never even attended a WordCamp San Francisco. I've always been working. Every WordCamp San Francisco I've been to, every WordCamp US I've been to, I've been working. I have seen like 3 sessions maybe. And that doesn't count State of the Word, which is kind of part of my job to make sure everything was like going smoothly. So I was always in State of the Word as well, running out to yell at people, rolling garbage trolleys down back halls and things. I'm so excited to be an attendee this year and to have the experience that we've provided for so many other people.
I'm so excited for you to have that experience. I've had that experience and it's a wonderful experience. So I'm excited that you get to have that experience.
I am really excited.
And I'm also really happy to hear that you have complete faith in the people like me who are part of this huge team that we've got this year. That's
y'all are going to rock it. I don't have any doubt. I'm very excited to see what you put together.
It's exciting. It really is. One of the things that I don't think people understand is when you organize your local WordCamp, it's a big job. Mm-hmm. When you are part of the organizing team for WordCamp US, it's a Herculean job, even if you have a ton of people you're working with. We started at the very, almost the very beginning of this year, and we are chugging along every day. I'm doing something for WordCamp US every single day, sometimes even some weekend stuff. And I'm only one of like 55 people that are part of the organizing team. So
can I do a PSA moment?
Please do.
WordCamp organizers, this is for you. Stop taking on too much. Stop trying to be everything to everyone. Be the organizer that you need to be. Be the organizer that you're meant to be. Don't be the organizer that you think people expect you to be. Unless that someone is me. that last part.
I like the caveat.
People take on too much. They're like, oh, I have to do this and this and this and that. And really, that's not how WordCamp organizing is supposed to be set up. We're supposed to organize as a community to have an event that is reflective of the community that we're in. Yeah. The WordCamp US community, really, it's more like WordCamp North America, should be reflective of so many people and so many locations that it takes a village. But even in that situation, you're either taking on too much work or there are so many people that you're creating more work, because we all know when you have more people, you're sharing the load, but there's still like the people management, the people collaboration. Mm-hmm. It's like when my daughter was young and learning how to cook, I would much rather make her macaroni and cheese than teach her to make macaroni and cheese. Because it'll take me a few minutes. It would take her an hour and it would drive me crazy. And then there'd be twice as many dishes. Right. That's not really like a direct comparison, but it can feel like that sometimes. Don't let it feel like that. Share the load. Let your community be a part of what you're doing.
I think that's great. And when I say I'm doing something every day, it's little things, which is what I love, because it's not, because we're sharing the load so well. Sometimes what I did is I check in on Slack and I give my opinion. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know this about me. I love to give my opinion.
I had to work really hard. I knew you were going to say that. I had to work really hard to swallow my iced tea before I did, because I was spit it. I know that you love to share your opinion.
I do. I try to be kind about it.
It's one of the things I love about you.
but if you ask me, I'm going to tell you.
Absolutely.
Which is a lot of fun. But the Lyft story. So the Lyft story. So one of the things that I love to do, and I shared this with you, and Trisha, who's been on the show and who is a WordCamp Rochester, I mean a WordPresser here in Rochester with me. You are both like just kind of want to be quiet and have my own time kind of people. And I am the opposite of that. So if I get in a Lyft or I get in an Uber, the first thing I do is shake the driver's hand, introduce myself, and start a conversation, because everybody wants to talk, right? And I want to be that nice person.
She does do that.
I do. So we all shared that one Lyft together, and it was like the challenge. The two of you were going to sit in the back seat and watch me have this conversation with the only Lyft driver in Ottawa who would not engage in conversation no matter what I said or did.
He wasn't mean. He just
he was perfectly nice. He did not want to talk.
No.
I texted you afterwards I slacked you afterwards and I said, I failed. I utterly failed. But
I've never seen someone so refuse Michelle's like conversation advances. I've never seen it. It was stunning.
It was humbling.
Yeah. I was like, I think I might be impressed.
I was humbling. I hope you tipped him well. For putting up with me.
I said, well, Maybe he was having a bad day. We don't know.
It could be.
Maybe Trisha texted him before we got in the car and was like, Michelle's going to try to talk to you.
Don't say anything.
What happens? I want to talk to her, but they told me I can't.
Trisha and I were sharing a hotel room, so we were rooming together. I got up there before she did, and she came up at, so shortly after she walked in, she goes, I still can't believe he didn't say a thing to you. I said, I know, right? This is just like, I said, I'm losing my charms.
We'll try again in St. Louis.
We'll see if we can't get somebody to talk to us for sure. Yeah. And in the South, they're even like, they just want to talk. They're like super friendly. Want to tell you their whole life story. So
all my other Ottawa drivers were super friendly and talkative. So much so that maybe I should tell them that I don't like people. But I do like people, so I can't see that.
Yeah. Well, we took the way to the speaker dinner, Trisha and I get in a Uber, and the driver says, you know, I start talking to him and telling him we're there for a conference and that it's about, you know, it's the in web design and everything. And he pulls out this one question that I have never had anybody ask me. He goes, so tell me then, how exactly does GPS work?
I tell you what, it's not web design, sir.
So I just made something up about satellites. I don't know. It's probably somewhere near the mark, but it was funny.
Satellites is accurate.
Yeah, you know, I just don't know the specifics.
Magic space hunks.
Yeah, there you go. I love it. That's awesome. I'm going to remember that one next time. So what is your favorite thing about your job? What is that you just absolutely love doing?
I can ask you to pick a favorite child.
Okay, so tell me three or four of your children then.
My favorite thing to do is something that unfortunately we don't really have the bandwidth to do anymore, but we used to do before every WordCamp, and I think you may have been on the receiving end of one of these from me. Before every WordCamp, we used to do a pre-WordCamp prep pep talk. A few days to a week before the event, we would have a video call with the organizer and talk them through all the things that we wanted to make sure they knew, like phone numbers they needed to know, who to call if the toilet gets clogged up, because that happens.
Yep.
Poop happens. To, you know, make sure that there's coffee and just like talk them through the process of making it through the day, through the WordCamp. And reminding them that the WordCamp is happening because of them and their dedication to the community. And I loved that call. But we don't really do that one as much anymore. So now my favorite thing is orientations for new groups. Mm. You know, I still love talking to our organizers that have been with us for forever, but having an orientation for a brand new organizing team where there's never been a WordCamp in their area is really amazing, except when they've just come from WordCamp US and they're like, I'm going to have a 5,000 person event in my small town. And I'm like, maybe we should dial that back a little bit. Yeah. I don't know. Think about it.
I'm not sure Tucson has that many people. Yeah.
It is working with new organizers and giving people the support and tools that they need to make their events shine.
But you also have empowered people to be mentors to camps. So you've shared that with other people. So talk a little bit about the mentorship program that you created.
I didn't create it. I've just
as a team. Whole.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I just like to make sure credit is given where credit is due. And I
appreciate
want
that
credit for anyone else's work. Yeah. So we, obviously, WordCamps are growing. We're having, my guess right now is 150. That's just a Cammy's guessing number for this year. And we are a finite number of individuals on the WordPress community team. And so in order to kind of share what we've learned with others, we have asked folks that we've shared our learnings with to start sharing those learnings with other people. And so we have a deputy program, which is where we have people, not necessarily WordCamp organizers, who help with the community work and who are an integral part of the community team. But then we also have mentors. And a WordCamp mentor is a former WordCamp organizer who has been there and done all of that and can help another WordCamp organizer, no matter how different their event is, kind of through the growing birthing pains of a WordCamp. not by doing the work for them, but by sharing their experiences and helping keep them on track. And Michelle is one of our mentors, and I'm very thankful for that.
I love doing it. It's so much fun.
Good. It makes me happy. I love our mentors. I love finding new mentors. I love that moment when someone's had a successful WordCamp and I'm having a conversation with them. And I'm like, so, have you considered mentorship? And sometimes I get them, and sometimes they're like, oh, maybe in a couple of years, Christina Workman, I'm looking at you. I know you're going to be a mentor soon.
Yeah, you know, she's been on the show too. She's on the U.S. team, and she does a lot with Kid Camp, so she should absolutely be involved because she's a lot to share.
She has. I'm trying not to recruit too hard from the WordCamp U.S. organizers because I know that you all have so much on your plates right now. And I always encourage people not to recruit from WordCamp U.S. organizers when I was working with them. I'm like, no, you can't have that. I'm burning them out. I need you not to. I'm trying to make sure that I do not encourage people to spread themselves to them.
I appreciate that for sure. I know we all do. That's awesome. Let's shift gears a little bit to what I call my rapid fire questions. Oh, and I'm going... Yes, I know. I ask them rapidly, but you can take as much time as you'd like to answer them.
Excellent.
Are we letting the cat in?
it's just very hot. I'm letting the air in.
There you go. That's awesome. So if you were helping somebody build their first website, what are two or three must-have plugins that you would recommend to them? Whether it's a specific brand or a type of plugin. I'll let you choose what you want.
Oh, okay. So I would go with. I like things that help you promote to social media in your own way. But more than that, I like things that bring social media into your site. So my favorite plugin for that reason would be bringing one that brings your Twitter or your Instagram feed onto the site so people could see what else you're saying. Mm-hmm. But in general, I feel like out-of-the-box WordPress does enough for you that you don't need to install a bunch of plugins and widgets. And that unless you have a specific reason to install one, you should just kind of see how WordPress itself works for you.
Yeah, that makes sense. I always tell people that WordPress is in and of itself a very robust thing, but that you would use plugins for additional features that are usually very specific. So for example, I work for Give. If you're looking specifically for a donations plugin, that's a great thing to add. Yep. If you're looking specifically for, you know, whatever it is, then you want to kind of look at those different things. So yep. I think only that's great advice.
If you add things that you don't need, you just get site bloat, and there's so much more to update and security and blah, 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 blah. So.
Yeah, exactly. For sure. When you started with WordPress or any point during your WordPress journey, have you had a mentor? And if you did, who was it? Whether it was official or not, no?
I was going to say, I've not officially had a mentor, but I would say Andrea Middleton.
Mm-hmm. And you guys live close together, like in the same town even, I think, don't you?
We live less than a mile from each other.
So that's the same town. Yeah, I love that.
Technically, we are in two different cities.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because the city divide, the way it works.
Yeah.
Yes, we live very near one another.
That's very cool. So
people don't really go to, like, Portland people were like, oh, it's really nice that you live so nearby in case I need to see you, but we don't live in places.
I hear you. Yeah, I kind of don't either. I go to meetups. Yeah. That's about it.
I see most of my Portland folks in other cities. So
that's kind of funny, actually. But yes, Andrea is definitely a good mentor. You and she have both mentored me through the WordCamp experience in different ways. So. Yes, because I've been organizing for quite a while as well. Let's see. Who is someone in the WordPress community that you admire and why? Nothing like putting you on the spot.
This is, again, asking me to pick favorites.
You can have several. I'll let you have several.
No, I'm going to go with one today. It's Mika Epstein. She is fearless and tenacious and so incredibly dedicated, and mm-hmm. she really has to deal with some of the crappiest things that the internet has to offer in terms of people being angry with her, and she always does it with such grace, and in addition to that, she is just a good, kind, beautiful, amazing person that I love, so Today it's Mika.
I can, I'll put my two cents in and agree with you 100% on that. So I had the embarrassing situation where I was at WordCamp San Diego last year. And she sat down across the table from me at the speaker dinner. And I said, you look very familiar with me. And she said, yes, Michelle, we've met before. said, oh, well, you'll have to excuse me because.
I can picture her face and hear her voice. And you got the inflection just right. Yes, Michelle.
But she was very kind and gracious, of course, about the fact that I was a little overwhelmed in the moment. So, yes, I agree. She's a wonderful person for sure. What is something that you would like to learn in WordPress that you haven't tackled yet?
I don't know what I don't know.
I know that I don't know PHP, and that's something that I'd like to learn. Not because I want to start building themes and building things, but I want to understand a little more of the component about how it works.
That's fair. I have no desire to learn code of any kind. I think here, this is ridiculous, but I would like to figure out how to make my site look like the theme in the theme store instead of whatever it looks like by the time I get done with it.
I know, it never does.
Like, no, that's some practical knowledge I would like to acquire.
I like that. I think that's funny because people always say, look, I installed this theme, but it doesn't look anything like it. And it's like, nope, they never do.
Yeah. So I would like to figure that out. That's something I would like to learn.
Well, when you figure it out, you'll have to share it with the rest of the world because certainly it's not something that comes easily. Absolutely. I love it. That's great.
I will make sure to tell everyone.
Now, this is my favorite question of all of them. This is what I call the great equalizer. Because I don't care if you are the person whose name is most well-known in WordPress or you just started last month. We all have a failure story. So what's the biggest mistake you've ever made in WordPress, and what did you learn from it? Oh, boy.
Does WordCamp organizing count?
Of course.
Okay. If you ask most organizers what I am most well-known to them for, it will be that I tell everyone they have to have coffee at their WordCamps. Yes. I am very adamant about this. I will tell them that they have to have coffee all day long. I will tell them if they do not have coffee or they do not have the budget for coffee to tell me. I will find them the budget for coffee. I tell them that if they run out of coffee, the only thing anyone is going to talk about is the fact that they didn't have coffee. And they're going to tell everyone about it. They're going to tell me. They're going to tell the entire internet. They're going to go home and tell their dog or their cat or their hamster. But for some reason, during WordCamp US, we thought it would be a really nice idea to switch it up and give people lemonade and iced tea in the afternoon. And the logic was the catering bill was astronomical already. And iced tea is caffeinated. But within an hour of pulling the coffee, we had coffee back out there because people were so mad. And so that is my biggest failure. It is also proof that you should listen to me and have coffee for your event. It is also proof that I should listen to myself, do as I say, not as I do, apparently. That's the big one that comes to mind. There was also the time that I broke all of the WordCamp sites, but I don't remember how I did it. And so I didn't really learn anything from that, except for to have complete and utter faith in the developers I work with who got it back online in short order.
I'm still afraid I'm going to break something at Give and they're going to be like, what did you do? And I'm going to be like, I don't know.
I was like, I don't know what I did, but I broke it. This is the site I was on last. And I'm sorry.
Somebody fix it, please.
That was very early on. There were less WordCamp sites. So I don't feel that bad. I feel good. It was only down for like 15 minutes or something.
Yeah, that's up and Slack was down for hours today.
So much IRC and email in that time. It was amazing.
Right? We got a lot of other things done, that's for sure. Twitter was active, very active during that time. What is your proudest WordPress moment?
Okay, it's silly. It's it's not silly. I mean, I'm proud of it. I am the first woman to ever voice the release video for WordPress.
And that's I've done it twice.
Yeah, I'm very proud of that. That's my proudest WordPress moment.
You should be proud of that. That's very cool. I'm going to say something about you and your work with WordCamps also that I'm proud of you for. Whether you had anything to do with it directly or not, I know that you have nurtured in a great way. But the very first WordCamp I ever went to was probably about 30% women in the room at the whole camp. And over the last 5 years, we have seen the number of women speakers, the number of people of color attending and speaking, and, you know, people with disabilities attending and speaking. Those numbers have grown what I would consider exponentially, given, you know, just how those numbers tend not to grow. And to walk into a WordCamp now, and it's almost always about half and half women and men, are pretty darn close. That's phenomenal. So for whatever part you've played in that, thank you.
That is a community effort. I did play a part in that the same way that you did, the same way that everyone else involved in WordCamps and meetups has. And it is something that we should all be really, really proud of, and that we shouldn't be so proud that we rest on our laurels. Right. We have to keep working toward equity for our program, because it's important. And the more voices that we have recognized, the better our software will be, the better our events will be, the better we will be.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you played a little bit more of a role, perhaps, because you also advise people to make sure that they're looking at those kinds of things, not just, you know, looking for the big names. You know, all the big names can apply to your camp, but make sure you're looking at the local people. Make sure you're looking for people who have a voice and those things. So it's a little bit more than just somebody who's a part of the community. You've had a real impact on that. So I just wanted to give you my gratitude for that.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. What is, if you didn't work in WordPress and in the web, what's another career you might like to attempt?
I've had many different walks of life. So this is one of the questions I was really thinking through. So I'm going to veer towards Cammie's retirement plan someday.
Okay.
And there are two.
Okay.
For anyone familiar with Gilmore Girls, you might recognize one of my career plans. I want to open up a small one-screen movie theater in a small town with, like, couches and popcorn and, you know, beer and wine, and just, you know, maybe new movies, but also just whatever movies I happen to think are amazing and that people need to see at the time. So a small town movie theater owner.
I love it.
Plant store owner. My daughter thinks I should go back to school for botany and become a botanist, but I would be happy just, like, taking care of plants all day and sharing plants with people.
Clearly you have a green thumb.
I did not used to.
Mine are brown. I have brown thumbs.
Yeah, I used to kill every plant I came in contact with, but I intentionally taught myself not to kill plants, and now I have. Just don't ask my daughter or my partner about plants. They'll tell you I have too many. They're wrong.
You have a blog about plants now, do you not?
I do, but I stopped blogging on it. So now I just have an Instagram account. Can I show everyone something I'm very proud of?
Of course.
Okay. So this is an orchid.
Yes.
It's so pretty. It is. One-of-the-mill pretty orchid. And when I bought it, like, 18 months ago, it was blooming. And it was, like, when you see orchids in a store, they're always, like, pinned up straight so that they're grown straight. I just like it this way. And I had purchased and owned many orchids over the years, and they always died and the blooms fell off. And that's normal. Blooms have to fall off. But I had never been able to keep one alive to a second bloom. And this is the orchid that I was able to keep alive. It had 3 blooms when I bought it. Now it has, like, 10, I think. So this is its second bloom. And I am just, like, ridiculously proud of my ability not to kill it.
I'm proud of you too, because I have two. So on my desk, I'll show you. I have a succulent. It's real.
Oh, hi, succulent.
It's actually real. I double checked that it was real because it was a gift, because people know that I don't have a green thumb. So I was like, this isn't plastic, right? I'm not watering a plastic flower all the time. And I have this one. So Amanda that I work with has given me a few succulents because I can actually keep them alive.
Good job.
And I water them daily with my little water thing. Just a little tiny drink every day.
I kill succulents because you're not supposed to take very good care of them. And I maybe fuss over them a little too much. So I'm working really hard to not kill some succulents. At the automatic jetpack/woo booth for WordCamp US last year, they had a bunch of succulent arrangements, and they were afterwards, like, they weren't really plantable, and so I took a bunch of cuttings of them.
Oh, look at that.
They're really growing.
They are.
Yeah. So I'm growing succulents. I was like, I can't let them die. That's sad.
Right.
So, yeah, a few of us took cuttings, and mine are actually growing. I can't believe it.
Well, you're a nurturer, and that shows in money different ways, so that's awesome. Fantastic. So the last question I have before we talk about how to find you on social, et cetera, is another of my favorite questions. Oh, wait a minute. I skipped one. Then we get to my favorite. Something on your bucket list. Something on your bucket list.
I don't mean this in a, I am not being self-degrading. I just am a very simple when it comes to what makes me, like, what I feel like I need to accomplish. Mm-hmm. I want to be a grandmother, like, at an age-appropriate time. Not age-appropriate for me, age-appropriate for my daughter. Like, holding in my grandchild, whether she chooses to have a child or adopt a child. Mm-hmm. She has said she wants children someday, so I'm not, like, pushing that on her. I would like to spend a month in Italy. Mm. At some point, just in some little village somewhere, and just, like, chill out with no internet, and only a phone for emergencies, and write a book. I've written, like, 3 books.
Oh, that's cool.
And I've done nothing with any of them. And I would like to publish a book of my poetry.
Oh, that'd be very cool. Yeah. Very cool. And so that's the bucket. Tell us, or show us, about a hidden talent that you have that the majority of the WordPress community might not know about you.
Does my plant count? I kept this alive.
Do you have any others?
It's possible that I have a hidden talent that I don't know about. I don't know.
Well, you did some things that I actually asked you instructions for when you were on your sabbatical.
Yes. I am crafty. That's true. I like to make things out of string. So I have, you can't really see them because of the light, but my plant hangers that I've made.
Oh, cool.
And in the other room, I made a chandelier entirely out of embroidery yarn. I made them into tassels. I made like 150 tassels or something, 200 tassels, and then I made a chandelier out of them.
That's so cool.
I still can't knit.
Yeah.
I'm trying. Mika showed me, and I kind of got it, but now I'm like, oh, now I forgot. So I don't know. I'll get there eventually. I like to embroider. I have artsy, crafty skills.
And those are fun. You could, especially if it's something small that you could take with you when you travel, that kind of thing. Like, I like to draw, and so I do a lot of drawings, and all I have to do is take some paper and pencils with me, and I'm good, you know, kind of thing.
I'm a poet. Does that count?
Of course it does.
I'm a poet. We'll just go with that. We'll skip all the other things. I'm a poet. I write
poetry. You're a poet.
My mom likes that I learned how to read just so I could write.
Oh, that's very cool. That is very cool. I love it. Tell us how we can find you online. So if you have a blog that you'd like to share, or your Twitter account, something like that.
I am Cami Chaos, CamiKaos, almost everywhere. So Twitter, Instagram, my blog is even CamiKaos.com.
And that is like the coolest name ever. It sounds like you should be like either a superhero or a supervillain with that name. I just have to say.
I could be a supervillain.
You know?
That'd be sow fun. The seeds of kindness in the world.
Right? And the night before WordCamp is Halloween, so I'm just saying, I could be Wonder Woman, you could be my arch nemesis, I don't know.
I am working, one of my friends is coming, she's going to be volunteering, and her two daughters are going to be volunteering. I kind of hope the daughters will allow me like in on whatever costume path they choose. I don't know, I will definitely be in costume.
Yeah, I've got to figure something out, too.
At the volunteer party. So, everyone, if you are a volunteer at WordCamp US, and you're going to be at that party, come in appropriate costume.
Bring it. For sure. Well, thank you so much. What's that? What'd you say?
Zombies can be appropriate.
They can be, yes. Just, you know, think about it. It's a family-friendly event.
Family-friendly.
That's what we're going to say. That's right. So very cool. Well, thank you so much for being with me today. I really appreciate it. I'm so excited to have you on the show and to be able to connect with you. I always enjoy speaking with you. And so this has been a real treat for me.
Thank you so much for having me, Michelle.
Thank you. And we'll say goodbye to everybody out there in the internet land. And I will see you at WordCamp US.
Absolutely. Bye.
Bye.